And a good Thursday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donnick, Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. Gosh, it's already Thursday. What happened to this week? It went fast. I guess that's always a good thing. Darren McFarland, that's me, Chase McCabe.
Hello, everybody.
That's him. Willie Donnick is in Chicago.
Chi-town.
Probably having a deep dish pizza for breakfast. I would.
I totally would.
I absolutely
I've never
would.
Been to Chicago.
Oh, my goodness. What is wrong with you?
I mean, I have.
Shame on you.
I have never been to Chicago because I wasn't on the trip when you guys went a few years ago for the playoffs. I've been in Midway and O'Hare airports, but I've never actually been in the city of Chicago. And I really want to go. I want to go to Wrigley. I want to go to New Kaminsky, whatever it's called. You know, want to go to a Blackhawks game where they lose to the Predators. I want to do all these things. I've just never done it.
Or you mean go to two games where they don't score?
And you don't hear Chelsea's dagger?
Yeah, for two games?
Yeah, that's nice. That's real nice.
That's unbelievable when I think back. It's just unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you could have convinced me going into that trip. Like, hey, you're not going to hear that on this trip. Oh, yeah, right.
Right.
Sure.
It's still crazy.
The number one seed in the West? Right. Sure.
Well, that's why this week.
Against the 8 seed? Sure. Right.
I have said.
I hope you're right, but there's no chance.
That's why I've said a couple times this week of when people bring up Titans Ravens and the Ravens are the best team, they're the number one seed. I go, hey, Chicago in four. Everybody said Chicago in four. Everybody said it was going to be a clean sweep for Chicago, and it was the other way around. So it can happen. We've seen it happen.
Well, we saw it last year happen.
Yeah. Exactly.
Ask folks down in Tampa.
Exactly.
How that one seed
and it's happened in football.
Fills. Yeah.
I mean,
teams get swept.
Anybody remember the New York Giants winning the Super Bowl and who they beat and the record of the team that they beat?
I believe at the time it was what 19-0.
It was
18-0. 18-0.
And remember too, they did that. They did that commercial. That aired right after the Super Bowl. That was, it was like a FedEx commercial or something like that, or Visa, or I forgot who it was. But Eli Manning was a delivery man for Perfectville, and they had the 72 Dolphins sitting on the porch going, "Hey, thanks, Eli." It was fantastic.
Yep. Well, you need to get to Chicago. That's a fun.
Yeah, story. Yeah. I was gonna go last year because the Braves. We're actually playing at Wrigley on my birthday, and there were a lot of things going on around my birthday, as you may remember, that we won't get into, but so I was unable to go. So I just, I'll have to try and go again sometime.
Things were a little hectic around
little
your
bit.
Birthday.
A little bit.
How was Smashville Live last night in Bellevue?
Smashville Live was awesome. I got to say, I really enjoyed hanging out with Julie Turris and Ida Bjorkstad. The significant others of Kyle Turris and Matthias Ekholm. So we had a big time. It was a great crowd. Nash was there. I tried to get him to ask some questions, but he was shy, which is rare for him.
He doesn't talk much.
He doesn't. He just kind of keeps to himself. But great crowd. And
he saves it for Twitter.
He does. He does. A lot of the Preds brass were there to take in the show. So it was a lot of fun. And the hour flew by. It was one of those I looked at the clock. I'm like, we got to go. We're done. So, but we had a good time. It was a cool perspective. And, you know, they kind of look at this week as change means new opportunity. And that's exciting. And that was kind of their look at it of supporting their, you know, their significant others. And so I had a lot of fun with it and was glad that they were able to do it. Nice people. I know you and Willie had them in studio last year when they started
times.
The podcast. Yeah, when they started the podcast. So
they've done an hour with us twice.
Yeah. So we had a blast. So appreciate everybody for listening and coming out and hanging out with us.
Yeah. What do the Preds brass look like?
Well, they're, you know, they like to have fun.
Are they shiny objects?
No.
You ever wonder why we say that? Why we say brass?
No. Sean Henry's not shiny. He's not shiny. So, I hope he hears this.
That was at Chase McCabe.
at Chase on Game.
At Chase on Game.
He's not shiny, but, you know, he's nice. His whole family was there. He brought the family.
Oh, really?
Brought the fam.
The Henrys.
Well, I guess not the whole family, but he brought his daughters and his wife.
They are a restaurant and bar owner in Dallas, the Henrys.
Oh, yeah. The Henry. Of course, you know, of course we have an event at a place called The Henry.
Yeah. I told Sean, I said, I like what you've done with the place.
Yeah.
It was a nice place.
It was. It was good.
We're going to have Pierre McGuire on from NBC Sports. Of course, the Predators are in Chicago at the United Center tonight to take on the Blackhawks as they begin a road trip. We'll talk to Pierre McGuire, who will be in between the benches tonight for NBC Sports Network.
Mm-hmm. I used this analogy last night with Julie and Ida, and I want to see if you think this is true. I look at Tuesday night as open house, the day before school, where you meet the new teacher. But then yesterday was the first day of school where you learn what's expected and what it's going to look like, because nothing was going to change Tuesday night. They had their first practice yesterday, and if you miss John Hines on with Darren or with Derek and Braden this morning, go check it out on demand. It was a very good interview. It's going to be different, and that's exciting. Because he's a different personality than Peter Laviolette, which is usually what you get. I mean, just like Peter Laviolette was different from Barry Trotz. That's what you do when you make a coaching change. And he was very detailed on what he's trying to do with this team and the changes that he wants to make. So that got me fired up that we'll probably start to see some of it tonight. But he said, he was honest. He goes, I'm not going to learn anything in two games. I mean, this is going to take some time for me to see what works together, and I might move some personnel around and put different lines together and see what I have. And plus, I got some key players out right now. And so once they're back, you know, we're going to move some things around. But Preds fans should be really excited about what this could look like. And again, as we've discussed, they're not that far out of it. We don't know what the second half of the season is going to look like, but there is definitely a chance for the Predators to make a run and get back in things.
I watched the Episode 3 of Road to the Winter Classic last night. Aired it on NBC Sports.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I hear Gina and Calvin
made
a cameo.
And I saw that. It was for the Peter Laviolette press conference. We walked in during it.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, because we were done. Well, they didn't show us.
Yeah.
Because I was in the back.
Gotcha.
But they were up front. And so, yeah, Gina Berg and Calvin Smith got a little airtime.
Nice. Good for them.
Good. Cameras panned around on them, sitting nice. In the front row. They were taking notes.
Oh, look at them.
Good students.
Yeah, that's good.
But it's interesting. You know me. I like the mic'd up stuff.
So do I.
So when you get conversations between players or conversations with a coach to players, conversations with players to referees, I love that stuff. And so even though we're in those situations a lot, you know, mm-hmm. we're around – in rooms, in locker rooms, behind closed doors. But we don't really get to, you know, during games, we don't get to hear. I just like to hear the conversations. Like when Corey Perry elbowed Ryan Ellis, to hear Roman Josi's conversation with the head official. You know, he's got to go. He's got to go. I like to hear that stuff.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, it takes you, because you feel like you're there on the bench.
And we were.
And we were. But
we didn't get that. We didn't hear that.
Yeah, it was interesting, too, to get Julie and Ida's perspective on when that went down, because obviously, you know, Ryan Ellis's wife was where they were all kind of together. And so you obviously have concern for him. Is he okay? And then when you see him get up and he's moving and all that, then it's like, throw him out of the game. Like it becomes that. So, but yeah, they did a tremendous job with that series and that. Of course, The Roots being the 24/7 series that was on HBO and now Road to the Winter Classic is awesome. And it's crazy when you look at the three episodes of, and I know they probably didn't show it because it all happened afterwards, but it begins with Jim Montgomery getting fired and then right after the last episode, Peter Laviolette. So now both coaches gone for different reasons, obviously, but I find that fascinating of just the journey that you go through on those three episodes.
We will have Mitch Light in studio during the 11 o'clock hour for about three segments. He's going to spend most of the hour with us. The national championship game is Monday night. I know there's been a lot going on in this market. The Titans are playing in a divisional round in Baltimore on Saturday night. You're heading to Baltimore tomorrow.
I am.
You know, we've had a coaching change with the Predators, so there's been a lot going on in this market. But, oh, by the way, a lot of people will care and watch on Monday night when Clemson takes on LSU. It's going to be a fantastic matchup, I think. Trevor Lawrence has never lost a college game. And I think we lose sight of that. He's never lost a game.
You're right.
He's never lost a game in college football, and they're an underdog. Just think about that.
I want you to know that, you know, on this show, I think people want answers, and so I'm going to give it to them. I'm making a pick. I'm going to pick the Tigers to win.
You're going off Rashawn Evans, our interview with him?
Yeah, I'm picking the Tigers.
Oh, you're picking the Tigers. Oh.
Yep. So I'm picking the Tigers.
That's a hot take.
I just got that.
Yeah. It kind of went over your head there.
Rashawn Evans, remember, he made a point to talk about Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Well, Trevor Lawrence.
Right. Well, he's not going to pick LSU either.
I know.
Like, come on.
But,
it was,
you know,
it was funny.
Don't forget,
line.
His team lost to Clemson in the national championship
they did.
Game.
So, they did. So he probably hates them both. But
what he did, because that's why I asked him.
Of what level?
Because I knew he would hate them both.
Do you, if you're in his situation, LSU's the rival, but do you hate Clemson a little more because they beat you in the biggest stage?
No. LSU and Alabama in the West, come on.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Just way too much more. History, and it's way closer, too close. We'll come back. Pierre McGuire, NBC Sports. He will join us next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tonight in Chicago at the United Center, it'll be the Predators and the Blackhawks. 7:30 puck drop. I'll have pregame for you at 6:30. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe. We got a chance to see this guy in Dallas when we were there all week at the Cotton Bowl. Pierre McGuire. He'll be in between the benches tonight for NBC Sports Network for Predators and Blackhawks. He joins us. Pierre, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, gentlemen. Best of the new year to you, and what a show down in the Cotton Bowl. I know the result wasn't what the Nashville Predator fans wanted, but I would tell you this. The way they traveled, the way they carried themselves, it led to an amazing atmosphere. I've been around the outdoor game since it started, and that was probably the best traveling participation I've ever seen. And hats off to the Nashville fans. It was awesome.
You could certainly hear it in the first period, right?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, those two power play goals. In fact, I was just saying in the first segment of the show that I watched episode 3 last night on NBC Sports Network of The Road to the Winter Classic, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So obviously it was around that game and the atmosphere and what took place. So you've been a part of it, and I know that, like you said, the results weren't what anybody was looking for, but to do that in front of 85,630 people, and it was a perfect day weather-wise. I mean, it was just it's a fantastic day for hockey.
It's a real honor to be part of that game, whether you're a fan, player, coach, broadcaster, doesn't matter. It's just an honor to be there. It really is. And both teams put on a real good show. Obviously, one of the things that hurt Nashville was Ryan Ellis getting concussed by Corey Perry. And, you know, Perry's paying for it with a 5-game suspension. But that really set Nashville back significantly in that game. I could see it as the game went along. And asked Peter Laviolette about it in the second TV timeout of the second period, how going down to 5 defensemen was affecting them. And he says, well, we're really hoping, you know, we can hang in there. And Dante Fabro is a guy that's really elevated his play because of it, and he sure had. That being said, I think they ran out of gas in the third period because of the fact they were only playing 5 deep.
Both of these teams are on the outside looking in. I don't know how Blackhawks feel about that, what their true expectation and anticipation was for this season. Certainly you know the expectations in this market. And it's been an interesting week, which all started Monday evening when the news got out that Peter Laviolette and Kevin McCarthy had been relieved of their coaching duties 5.5 seasons into this. And as we sit here now, officially, Pierre, in the second half of the season, One, just let me just start there. What do you make of the move? And now John Hines will play or will coach his second ever game, and it'll be on the road tonight.
Well, I think Mr. Poya was definitely trying to get the attention of the players and the organization as a whole. He doesn't have a history of doing that. His loyalty towards coaches has been phenomenal, whether it was with Peter Laviolette, Barry Trotz, Terry Murray, Brian Murray. I mean, he's been, over the course of his career, an amazingly loyal manager to his coaches, probably more so than any other manager in the history of the National Hockey League. But I think he went as far as he could in terms of trying to figure out how they could fix it. And he realized this team needs a jolt. And there's only so much you can do because of the salary cap in terms of trades. And eventually I think they will make some trades. But right now he needed that spark. It didn't affect the team in the first game, obviously, losing to a very good Boston team. I'd expect they're going to be better here because John's had a chance to implement some of his ideology. But here are the three things that need to happen under John's watch. And I really believe this to be a problem for Nashville. One, in-zone coverage has to be better. There's a reason why they have the second-worst save percentage as a team in the league, because their in-zone coverage isn't very good. Second, power play has to be in the top 12 in the league. Right now, on any given night, it can be between 20 and 25. It needs to get into the top 12. And with the firepower that they have, especially on the back end, they should be able to do that. Third thing, realize and recognize where Matt Duchene has to play and who he needs to play with. Is he a center or a winger? You got to figure that out fast. Who does he need to play with if he's a winger? Who does he need to play with if he's a center? If you figure those three things out, if you're John Hines, you can get this team to snap to attention and you can get them into the playoffs. But those three questions need to be answered, and they need to be answered sooner rather than later.
We know John spent 4.5 years with the Devils. He was fired last month. They come here once a year, as you know. So there's really no opportunity for us to really get to know him. But certainly David Poile, and we know the front office with the Devils. We certainly got to know them with their time here in Nashville. But you're around hockey circles. You talk to people all the time. You're around these coaches. When you ask about John Hines, what do you hear?
Only good things. I've known John a long time. The first interaction I had with John was at the 2004 World Junior Hockey Championships in Helsinki, Finland. John was an assistant coach for Team USA. I was broadcasting. Canada played the U.S. in the gold medal game. It was one of the gold medal games for the ages. Mike Eaves was a head coach. John was his assistant, and they engineered a miraculous comeback. The USA did it and eventually won for the first time the World Junior Gold Medal in 2004. So that's really when I started to interact with John. And then he became a head coach, and he would call me, and we would debrief before he would take his team to the World Junior, whether it be in Pardubice in the Czech Republic or Leksand over in Sweden, it didn't matter, or Vancouver out west. He would call and he would debrief and ask questions about other teams. He's a very detail-oriented person, very thorough in terms of his preparation, an excellent communicator, and runs really strong practices. So you're getting a coach that's really detail-oriented but a very good communicator, and I think that's an important part of the game today.
I was doing a post-game show with Hal Gill on Tuesday night after the loss to Boston, and we talked about what Yakov Trenin did to Chara. He buckled Chara in their fight in the third period, which obviously there wasn't a ton to root for, but that certainly got the fans very interested on Tuesday night. I mean, Hal Gill's a guy who dropped the mitts with Chara and understands, you know, how big of a deal it is when you have to fight that large, large man. And he just talked about how Trenin just got instant street cred in his room and around the league. Another thing, you're around this all the time, and you see these fights. You're sitting in between the benches for a guy like Trenin to do what he did to Chara. What did you make of that?
That says a lot. It says a lot about the kid's character. It says a lot about, you know, that he wants to make it. It's a pretty strong statement. I've seen Zdeno Chara do some serious damage to a lot of different players over the course of time. The worst one ever was Raitis Ivanens in Montreal when Ivanens was playing for Montreal, and I think Zdeno was playing for Ottawa at the time. But it was just, it's one of the nastier things you've ever seen. And listen, Chara's not a dirty player, but if guys are going to challenge him, that's just the law of the land in the league. And Big Z did a number on him. I've seen him do a number on Evander Kane. I mean, they go down the line. There are not too many guys that have beat Zdeno Chara over the course of his career. It says a lot about Trenin. And it says a lot about, you know, potentially what he can provide. It's not just about the fighting. It's about the energy that a player like that can provide to the team.
We're talking to Pierre McGuire of NBC Sports. He'll be on the call tonight as the Preds take on Chicago. I want to ask you about Rob Scuderi, because he was added as an assistant coach. The Predators actually hired him earlier this year to help with development, but he's going to be on the bench along with John Hines and the other assistants. We all know that the Predators could do some work with their defense, and they've been so good in the past. But what can Scuderi, who has a lot of experience in the league, bring to this team?
Well, when Robbie played, he was a fundamentally sound player. You know, again, having watched Robbie play at Boston College, having watched him play for Wilkes-Barre, having watched him play for Pittsburgh in L.A., Robbie Scuderi has always been a fundamentally and tactically sound defensive player. Al Gill could probably speak to that as well. Hal was very similar in terms of his approach to the game. Rob is a really good person. He's a wholesome, honest guy, great family person. I think the players will respond and respect him because he's a Stanley Cup champion on more than one occasion. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, Phil Housley left to move on. So you lost a defensive coach. Kevin McCarthy was a defensive coach. So I think this helps John Hines in terms of having somebody that can kind of address the problems that I was talking about before with the defense. So I think it's actually a really prudent move, and you're bringing somebody from the inside into the more inside, if that makes sense, so that he's very familiar with these players, their strengths and their weaknesses. It's not somebody that's going to have to come from the outside and say, oh, I didn't know that guy couldn't do this, or I didn't know that guy could do that. You know, he knows what the players can do.
Why do you think it works so well when you have a coach, whether it's a head coach or an assistant, in this case an assistant, that, I mean, he's not that far removed from his playing career. So he saw how the game was starting to evolve and how the league was starting to change. I feel like that's going to be beneficial as well.
Very much so. I think that's an outstanding point. And part of that is because the level of communication in the league has changed so much. Back in the day when Rob broke in, the players were audio learners, not visual learners. Everything was basically done through audio explanation. So it's like sitting in a classroom. The teacher would talk and you would listen and you would take notes. Now it's more audio or visual based, excuse me, because of the advent of computers, the touch pads. You know, we have pads on the bench now, video replay, all that stuff. So it's made a big difference. And I think Rob's really familiar with how the trends have changed over the last 4 or 5 years in the league, and that's a positive, not a negative.
Pierre, how much can this coaching change benefit the goaltenders Pekarinen and Juuse Saros?
Only if the coaches implement different defensive philosophies will it help the goalies. You know, everybody's looking at their save percentage. Only Detroit's got a worse save percentage than Nashville in the league, which is shocking when you think about it. Even New Jersey's got a higher save percentage than Nashville, which is shocking. It's absolutely shocking.
Wow. Yikes.
But part of the problem is the goalies that you have in Nashville didn't forget how to play goal. Pekarinen didn't forget how to play goal. Juuse Saros didn't forget how to play goal. The problem is the chances, the quality chances that are coming up against these guys have been ridiculous. And so that's defensive zone breakdowns. Now, I will say this, and I'm not making excuses here for Nashville, even though I'm going to. Ryan Ellis isn't playing, so that's a bit of a problem. And P.K. Subban was traded away. So your top two defensemen on the right side of the ice are no longer there. That's a problem. That's something that has not been talked about enough. And, you know, people could say what they want about P.K. P.K. had a good career in Nashville. P.K. played really well there. And he was a lot better than what the pundits are giving him credit for. And Ryan Ellis is maybe one of the most undervalued players in the league, and you miss him tremendously. So you take those two guys out of your lineup, it's a problem. And they're trying to fit other guys in, and it's just not that easy to do.
Pierre, something we talked about on the show yesterday was I was pretty adamant in saying I think Peter Laviolette will be a head coach in this league again very, very soon. I think he's going to be sought after by a lot of teams that are looking for the same thing that the Predators needed 5.5 years ago, of just a revamp and kind of a look at a new system. How do you see it? Do you feel like Seattle building something from scratch would be a good fit for him, or does he get back in sooner?
Well, I think he might get back in sooner. It depends on whether he wants to or not. But I would say that Peter definitely is a viable candidate for almost any job that becomes available. And there will be. We've seen such turbulence this year for the head coaches in the league. So I think that Peter, probably jumps the queue and moves ahead of some of the guys that have already been fired this year. Because one, this is something that Peter never got enough credit for. And I hope people are aware. I'm sure hockey insiders are, but this is something for the fans. The Stanley Cup in 2006 was won by Carolina. He was the head coach. They won a seven-game series against Edmonton. But the rules had changed. Between 2004 and 2005, when we had the nuclear winter with no hockey, the rules changed in the NHL, and the red line came out, and there was zero tolerance on obstruction, and all these different things came in. So you had to come up with different ideologies in terms of how you were going to defend and how you were going to attack. And Peter, to his credit, who played at Westfield State College in Massachusetts, played in the no red line league. He understood how to manufacture offense without the red line. And they were the first team in Carolina to really grasp those concepts. And because of that, he was much more of an innovator at the NHL level than he ever got credit for. And that's one of the things I really admire about Peter, is the fact that he understands how to adapt to every different situation. And I have to believe he will be back coaching in the league sooner rather than later.
Pierre, we're pretty proud in this market sitting here on this Thursday. We feel like both our professional sports teams have taken down dynasties. The Predators did it 3 years ago, and the Titans did it last weekend. So,
man, oh, man, your Titans were awesome last week. I watched that whole game from start to finish, and just the energy on the sideline, obviously the coaching message going back to New England was pretty amazing. And I was pumped watching it. I got to tell you, I was really jacked up. We got to get the Predators in the playoffs, and I'll tell you why. It is, in my opinion, one of the most amazing in-arena experiences in the league, especially during a playoff game. And I've talked about this ad nauseum. You know, Jerry Helper's a good friend of mine who works for the team. I tell him all the time, it's you guys and it's Vegas. Those are the two most amazing inexperienced arena things to go through when you're calling a game or when you're at a game. It's just awesome. And so I'm hoping we get a little more time down in Nashville.
We're hoping so, too. And we agree with you, by the way. Always enjoy the visits. Thanks for doing this. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk soon.
It's my pleasure. Anytime you guys want me, I'll be there for you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Pierre. Pierre McGuire, NBC Sports, does a fantastic job. He'll be on the call tonight in between the benches for the Predators and the Blackhawks at the United Center. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Good stuff from Pierre McGuire. Hope you enjoyed that.
Always enjoy having him on.
CC9 on Twitter did enjoy it. At DMAC _1025. Great interview with Pierre McGuire. Finally, someone giving PK credit for his defense in Smashville.
I think that's a fair point.
It is. No, you know, I completely, that's why I read it. I think it's fair. I know, and we've talked about this a lot. I get it. I know a lot of people were over him, and people love to bash. And, mm-hmm. and did he make mistakes? Yes. But I don't think the people that wanted to trash him so much, because I get it. When his mistakes, a lot of times, were when they happened, they were big mistakes, and they mm-hmm. were obvious to everybody. And it's like, oh, my goodness. But I think the people that kind of like, they got to a certain point with PK, they just, like, that was their narrative no matter what.
Right.
And then you stop paying attention to all the good that he was doing.
Yeah.
Okay? Because if you don't think PK is a good defenseman, I'm sorry. I'm just going to respectfully 100% disagree with you.
Right.
It's just like the people that wanted him gone and want to bash him on the way out. And I keep delivering the message of, it may have been time. That's fine. I get it. But don't forget, those 3 years were really, really mm-hmm. good when he was here. And he had a lot to do with the elevation of where this thing is today. A lot. Remember, when he was on the front cover of a video game, he's in a Predators uniform.
Yep.
Okay? No other player has been on the cover of a video game. He was.
He was an all-star
game
captain.
When he's at the ESPYs and he's up on stage, he's representing the Nashville Predators.
Yep.
Okay? And whenever national games, he's a big reason why they got national games. So I understand that he made mistakes, and there were times when he really aggravated the fans. I get it. And I know some of his mistakes, you went, holy cow,
mm-hmm.
what the heck just happened? I get it. But if you think his body of work overall for 82 games and in the playoffs wasn't good or was a failure, you're just wrong. Yeah. You're just wrong. You may not want to hear it, but you're wrong.
No, I think there are two moves that the Predators have made in the last year and a half, that they were time. I mean, it had gotten to that point where it was time to move on from PK Subban, and as we have learned, it was time to move on from Peter Laviolette. But keep in mind, with those two, these are some of the best years this team – these are the best years that this team has ever had. And there was a lot of good that came out of both of them. At some point, you have to move on and make changes, just like it was time to move on from Barry Trotz. But you still have to look back at the – at the good times. And when I read Twitter and, you know, this, everybody's like, it was time to get rid of Lavi. Like, he should have been fired a long time ago. Okay, you can feel that way. But next time you're in Bridgestone Arena, look up at those banners and then, you know, maybe take a step back, because those probably aren't there without Subban and Laviolette and the other members of the team, but they had a big part of it.
And for people right now that feel like this team is a little too much on the soft side, do you think they were with PK?
No.
Really? Do you think PK was baby poops off? Really?
No.
No. No.
Are we having this conversation?
Was he an agitator? Yeah. Did he get under people's skin? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Did he push back? Yeah. Some of you want that. Okay. Well, they had that too. That was another element that they had that's now gone. Just saying, be careful. I understand. You can say it's time, and that's fine. And maybe in both cases, PK Subban and Peter Laviolette, you're right. Maybe it was just time. But don't dismiss just because it was time.
Right.
Don't forget and don't throw it away like, oh, it meant nothing.
Oh, it meant a lot.
Stop. Just stop it.
Your team went to the Stanley Cup final. And you know what? Even though I just said that I believe when they made that move this summer for PK Subban going to New Jersey, it was time. And that's how you get Matt Duchene. You don't get Matt Duchene if you don't make that move. And so you had to do that from a financial standpoint and other things. But if PK Subban was still here, we're probably not talking about a coaching change. Because this team is better defensively. They just are. So I don't know. And that's been the biggest problem, or one of the biggest problems this year has been the lapses on defense. I think Dante Fabbro is a very, very talented player. I think he is going to be a star in this league for a long time, and for this team. He has a ton of talent.
It's just not today.
But
I agree with you. It's just going to take time.
I think it was a better situation when he was on the third pair with Dan Hamhuis than having to elevate him to the second pair with Matthias Ekholm. And that's not a shot at Matthias. That's just Dante's not ready. He needed time to grow. But out of necessity, they had to throw him in there. And that then adds pressure on Matthias, because he's having to pick up some slack, you know, because Dante Fabbro is just a rookie in the league. So that's another area where they're missing PK Subban, because you've had to put a ton of pressure. And now look at the defense. They're missing two key players in Fabbro and Ellis, and everybody's having to make up for it, and they're having to call up guys from Milwaukee. So this is just the situation in which they're in with this team right now, but we'll see, as Pierre said, and we'll talk to Elliot, you know, later today at 1, that David Poile is probably going to be working the phones, as he told us yesterday, and trying to improve this roster.
Do you agree, by the way? Do you think about what I said to Pierre on the way out? Maybe this market ended two dynasties.
Yeah.
Well, Predators did.
Look, I'm just saying this from the Brady standpoint. He's been pretty clear that
today,
he's not retiring.
It feels like that thing is over.
Yeah.
It feels that way.
Like I am willing to bet he plays next year for a different team.
So something has happened. I'm not sure what. We need to examine it.
I need to look at that. I don't think that affects. Yeah.
We need to look at that during the break and make sure before we say anything. I'm not sure what we're looking at.
No. I think we're good.
Okay. We'll come back, wrap up the first hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next. May he rest in peace, Chris Cornell. Sad, sad, sad. Still can't believe he's gone. Elijah, you don't remember this. Chase has heard the story many, 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 many years ago. One of the coolest interviews Willie and I ever did was with Chris Cornell.
Really?
I bet that was cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, that's got to be a career highlight right there.
It was awesome. On a sports talk show, and it was still fantastic.
But when was that? What year would you pin that interview?
Oh, this would have been probably 12, somewhere in the 12 to 14 years ago range.
Oh, wow.
Let's say 12 years ago.
Genuinely jealous. That would have been an incredible interview.
And then he came to Wild Horse and played, too, and we went, or I went.
Man, one of the best rock and roll voices in the history of rock
and
roll.
You know, certain people have just that distinct voice, right? You just hear it and you immediately know he's one of those voices.
Easily, yeah.
Sad. He's gone. Very, very sad.
Did you happen to see, we got distracted, but we were talking about Brady. I brought up Brady.
By the way, our distraction was nothing, and I suspected it was nothing, but I just wanted to make sure it was nothing.
Well, and we can say, Philip Tomasino, who is a prospect for the Predators, plays in the Canadian Hockey League, the junior.
He's a first-round pick.
Yeah, first-round pick, junior league.
Not just a prospect.
In the OHL, and they have trades within that league. Like, you have, even though the Predators own his rights, he can be traded to another Canadian Hockey League team, OHL team, and he was, and for a ton of draft picks, because they also have a draft.
Yeah. To be exact. Yeah, and so, a player.
And a player. So, but that doesn't affect the Predators. The Predators still own his rights. He's still a Preds prospect. So that's why you saw that, and we're like, whoa, he got traded. And then,
well, I didn't. I know, but I was like, I know this doesn't make sense, and I know it's not what I think, but I just need to look into this a little bit more.
Right. But I wanted to ask you, because I got on the subject of Brady, and I said, I think he plays somewhere else next year. Mm-hmm. I truly think that. Did you happen to see his Instagram post yesterday of what he said?
Read it. Yeah, I did.
I just wanted to say to all of our fans, thank you. After a few days of reflection, I am so grateful and humbled by the unconditional support you have shown me the past 2 decades. Running out of that tunnel every week is a feeling that is hard to explain. I wish every season ended in a win, but that's not the nature of sports or life. Nobody plays to lose, but the reward for working hard is just that, the work. I have been blessed to find a career I love, teammates who go to battle with me, an organization that believes in me, and fans who have been behind us every step of the way. Every one of us that works at Gillette Stadium strive to do their best, spent themselves at a worthy cause, and prepared to fail while daring greatly. Hat tip, Teddy Roosevelt. And for that, we've been rewarded with something that the scoreboard won't show, the satisfaction of knowing we gave everything to each other in pursuit of a common goal. That is what team is all about. In both life and football, failure is inevitable. You don't always win. You can, however, learn from that failure, pick yourself up with great enthusiasm, and place yourself in the arena again. And that's right where you will find me, because I know I still have more to prove. Do you take that as a sign that he's not retiring?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what I took from that.
That he's coming back to the Patriots, or that he's...
Here's the ball. I've got a ball. Mm-hmm. This is radio.
And okay.
Close your eyes. I have a ball.
Right.
This is your court. I'm now laying the ball down.
So he basically has told the Patriots, if you want me, make it happen?
I'm coming back.
Right.
I'm playing next year. Now the ball's in your court.
Yeah.
It's your decision. I'm coming back.
So it sounds like he's open to anything.
So he's just laid it in their lap and said, fine.
Right.
If I'm not back with the Patriots, that's on you. The fans, send your letters, your emails, your texts, your tweets, your faxes, whatever you do now to get hold of a team and get their attention, send it to the Patriots.
Right.
Send it to Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft. I'm coming back. That's what I took from it. I didn't take
yeah,
that
he's
he
coming
was,
back.
He wasn't saying,
there's no
thanks
doubt
for the memories, appreciate everything, love you, and he's waving. He's doing his
right.
He's parade wave. No. I didn't take it as that. I took it as, I'm coming back. This has been an incredible ride. Now it's up to you to decide whether I'm coming back to play for you.
but it's so open-ended too, because you would agree that they got to get him some more help. I mean, he needs help. He needs weapons. That offense was just, it was him and Edelman, and N'Keal Harry was okay, but I mean, they need work. I mean, they definitely do. And so I take it as, yeah, the ball's in your court to re-sign me, but you got to give me something to win with too.
As I've said all year, you don't replace Gronk.
No.
You don't. Unless they can, and they've done this before, but unless you can find the next Travis Kelce, George Kittle,
mm-hmm.
Zach Ertz, find one of those guys. By the way, have you noticed how important the tight end position has been this year in the NFL? And it's not just this year, but every year it just keeps getting vitally important how much the tight end position is being used. By the way, the Titans defense, they'll have to prepare for a potent tight end, mm-hmm. not just one tight end. I know we focus on one in Edwards, but they've had three productive tight ends.
They have.
So,
yeah.
It's a position. So, but Gronk is, he's different. I mean, he was, you're not going to find one like him. You just need to find another weapon at that position somewhere in the vicinity of him, because you're not going to find a guy with his size and his frame and what he did. He was unguardable.
Isn't this a situation where Gronk could look at Jason Witten? So, you know what? He sat out a year. Tom wants to come back. Tom wants to do this one more time. Maybe Tom Brady and Gronk talk. Gronk's had a year to heal up and just kind of step away. Could you see him taking another run at it? And not that he needs to, but coming back for one more year? The Patriots get – and then maybe they draft a tight end. Look, where they're going to be picking is where I've seen Bryson Hopkins, you know, projected to be. You put Bryson Hopkins in that offense and then get Gronk back for another year. I mean, that's two weapons right there that Tom Brady might look at that and go, okay.
All Gronk's right. not coming back.
You don't think so?
No. No, I do not. Did you take the Instagram post as what I just laid out there?
Yeah. It's open-ended. He's not saying he's saying he's not retiring, that he's going to play football next year. But he's not definitively saying that he's playing for the New England Patriots. He's basically saying
he can't.
Right. But he's saying that I'm going to play. And whoever wants me, come get me.
I don't think I ever can remember a year where there's been this much intrigue, or at least star power with names
mm-hmm.
of possible quarterbacks in the league on the move.
Right. This is...
I've never...
Breeze, Rivers, Brady.
And I realize they're not all going to be on the move, but they have the potential. They could mm-hmm. all be on the move. I mean, Eli could retire. Philip Rivers could retire. Tom Brady could retire, even though we just said he's not going to. He's not retiring.
I would be shocked.
Drew Brees is not going anywhere. He's not. I mean, he is going to be a Saint for life. He's not going to put on another uniform. He's either going to play for the Saints or he's going to retire. So he's not going anywhere, but he could.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Newton could be on the move.
Yep.
I don't know. Matt Rhule, they just gave him a ton of money. I don't know how Matt Rhule feels about Cam Newton. I don't know how the Panthers, with a new owner, feel about Cam Newton. Do you know what he's set to make this year?
I don't.
Just take a guess. It's Cam Newton. What do you think he's set to make?
29.
Elijah?
I'm going to go 22.
About 19.
Ooh.
Oh, that's it?
That's bargain basement.
Wow.
Wow.
For MVP.
That's the bargain bin.
Wow.
And I get it. He's an injury risk. I don't know what his health situation is, but he's coming back on a contract that pays him $19 million a year.
Mm. But it's funny.
This upcoming year.
Jameis Winston could be on the move.
Yeah.
Rivers. I mean, we know Mariota's moving. We don't know Tannehill. I mean, Tannehill's
Alex
not
Smith.
Signed. Alex Smith. That's a good one. Bridgewater. I mean, there are going to be some pretty decent quarterbacks available for teams, and they're not all going to stay. I mean, they're going to move around. I still say the LA Chargers are going to be in play for Tom Brady. You can just I know Chris Collinsworth said it on a national platform, but I said it Friday night with Teron. They're going to be in play because I don't think Rivers is going back there. I feel like that relationship is over.
I think it's done.
And I could totally see.
And where does he go, by the way?
Well,
by the way, Jacoby Brissett is going to be on the move, yep. I think.
I could totally see a scenario where Rivers and Brady essentially swap. Could totally see that. But I could also see Rivers being a fit in Indy. I could see that, yep. too.
It's going to be really interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun offseason. Now with the Titans.
What are the Jags doing with Foles?
That's a good that's a good question.
I mean, they just
Eagles?
How about they just punted him at the end of the year? They just said we're like Minshew is starting the rest of the year. They could have just said he's going to be the starter this week. They just went on and said he's starting the rest of the season.
Right. And by the way, Dak still has to sign a contract.
Well, right.
Does he have a year left?
No, I think everybody. No, everybody feels like he's going to stay. I get it, but he's another one.
Right.
He could. Be on the move.
I look at the Eagles, too. I know Wentz is their guy, but they have to have a conversation about this guy cannot stay healthy. This is three straight years that they've been in a position in the playoffs, and he gets hurt. He got hurt in a playoff game, his first career playoff game, and so they don't have him for most of the game. I mean, that's an issue. And so you bring up Foles, and you know that's Nick Foles to me is a prime example of a guy being in the right system. When he was in Philly in Doug Peterson's system, that just worked for him.
Bears coming back with Trubisky.
Well, I've said all along that I thought they'd make a run at Mariota. That's a fit for Mariota, and
he comes
in as a backup, but it could be the same situation reversed that he was in this year.
I've never seen this many quarterback. Air quotes, names.
Yeah.
Being available to move if need be.
That's what's going to make it interesting.
Yeah, it's going to make it interesting for sure. When we come back, Mitch Light will tell you who he represents. To kick off the second hour, we'll talk college football. Maybe Mississippi State's closing in on their man. The national championship game is Monday night. We'll get into all that with Mitch Light to kick off the second hour of the program. Right now, I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems, a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area since 1994. They have more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers. If you're a homeowner and you've been noticing that maybe you've got some cracking around your bricks, or you got walls bowing, or doors or windows sticking, drywall separating, chimneys maybe that are tilting or leaning, these are all signs that maybe your house is trying to tell you something. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But how about you just get the experts out there from USS and let them look into it, because they care about their reputation. They care about their quality of work, their integrity. And, oh, by the way, they have free estimates. They're locally owned, and they're licensed and insured. That should be all things a homeowner should want to hear. And I just told you how many satisfied customers they have. If you've got something like this going on, you might want to give these folks a call. Have them come out and tell you, put you at ease and tell you, don't worry about it. Or say, hey, you've got a problem. We need to help you with it and fix it. 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275 is their number. You can always check them out at their website, usstn.com. As they promise, we guarantee our best. Call USS.